Greetings. This is Pastor David Bass at New Geneva Orthodox Presbyterian Church with a moment of truth, where we challenge you to think through an important issue of life and faith. Today, what is the dialectic process? Don't be scared of that term. And how have we moved as a society from seeing issues like homosexuality as taboo to celebrating it as terrific? The dialectic process has had a role in this. How have we come to see abortion as a liberal sacrament when a generation ago it was seen as a human sacrilege? Well, since the beginning of time, animals were thought to be food for our table, fit for human consumption, and now they are thought to be food for thought and elevated to human companions, haven't they? Dear listener, you are a sheep for slaughter if you think this is just the normal progress of humanity. You're a drone in a bastard beehive if you think this is inevitable social evolution. Marxist social engineers have long recognized and embraced the fundamental process of human change, and that is the dialectical process. Now, some of you know exactly that of which I speak. Others of you scratch your head and ask, what in the world is he talking about? Diabolical, diametric process? What? I have no clue as to what you're talking about, Pastor Bass. And I have no idea what it means to me either. Well, what if I told you that the dialectical process helped to guide how you think about homosexuality, especially if you see it as normal and equal to heterosexuality? Now, last week, I put forward three reasons why gay and lesbian marriage was destructive toward society. One was a theological reason, that is, a one-man, one-woman relationship in a faithful, monogamous covenant union was the unbreakable model that God has designed. And the second reason was a demographic reason. That is, owing to reproductive inertia, homosexual couples contribute to a population death spiral in every society in which they are allowed to flourish. Lesbian women have the wombs, for example, but not the wish to use them for babies. Homosexual men have the seed, but not the sense to reproduce after their kind. And then there was a third reason as well. That is a cultural reason. That is, that gay culture must seize upon breeding heterosexual culture for their next generation of persons to perpetuate their culture. So by definition, left to themselves, they would die out, wouldn't they? They rely upon breeding heterosexual culture for the prey to perpetuate the next generation of gay culture. And yet these reasons, they of course fly in the face of what you've been led to believe, right? That is that lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender people, they deserve to be happy like everybody else, right? We are only human with regular desires like anybody else, they would maintain. Therefore, we should be allowed to exercise these desires freely. And as well, lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender people have the right to be married, too. Marriage is a right to which the gay community is entitled. You heterosexual people, you're discriminatory when you deny us our right to be married like straight couples. Okay, what was taboo yesterday is trendy today. What was perverse in the dark yesterday is preached from the rooftops today. And what was malignant yesterday is mainstream today. How and why did this happen? What does it mean for our future, too? Already we see our future on the horizon, I submit to you. And if you haven't heard about this, it is in the percolator. Another taboo, that is pedophilia, sex with underaged children. Pedophilia is just gearing up to become trendy. Perverse pedophilia is coming out from the dark shadows to be preached from the rooftops, and the malignant sexuality of pedophilia will soon become mainstream in days to come. Oh, impossible, you may say. No sane person would ever be persuaded that child molestation is normal, you may object. Sex with children? Oh, it'll be mainstream over my dead body. You may strenuously assert this. Well, let me suggest to you that there are people out there who may accommodate you and your dead body, if you will. There is now a pedophile activist lobby group named B4U ACT. B4U ACT is what their acronym is, founded by Dr. John Money of the National Institute for the Study, Prevention, and Treatment of Sexual Trauma. Now, Dr. Money was initially part of Johns Hopkins Sexual Disorders Clinic. And Dr. Money and his disciples now want to redefine pedophilia, sex with underaged children, as a normal sexual orientation, like heterosexuality, and now what mainstream society considers to be normal regarding lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgendered peoples. Now, they have been metaphorically standing in line, if you will, in the debate over the mainstreaming of homosexuality. They've been awaiting their opportunity for acceptance. And with a complete collapse of resistance to the normalization of all things homosexual, the group B4UACT, B4U Act, sees it's time now to move. Dr. Fred Berlin succeeds his mentor, Dr. Money, who is now deceased. Dr. Fred Berlin succeeds him as head of B4U Act. And he addressed the infamous American Psychiatric Association in August of 2011 with a paper entitled Pedophilia, Minor Attracted Persons, and the DSM. I'll tell you what DSM is a little bit later. Issues and Controversies. This was the name of the paper. Now, in this paper, Dr. Berlin attempted to make a case for redefining pedophilia as a normal, well-adjusted sexual orientation, which he labeled minor attracted persons. A tortured euphemism, if ever there was one, right? Minor pedophiles are actually just minor attracted persons, normal people who are attracted to minors. Well, these minor attracted persons are, according to Dr. Berlin, no different from you and me, with the exception that they are sexually attracted to children rather than adults, and should therefore not be condemned because we are not attracted to children, right? According to Dr. Berlin, these relationships between children and minor attracted persons can be so structured that no one is hurt, but that both the child and the adult, so drawn, can profit from the relationship. Dr. Berlin wants all of us, and I quote him now, to learn more about attraction to minors and to consider the effects of stereotyping, stigma, and fear, unquote. According to one observer, all the speakers focused on pedophiles as healthy, normal, and unfairly victimized by stigma and mean words, unquote. This at the American Psychiatric Association. This is what's coming, dear listener. You may be shocked and you may be outraged at the very thought of this, but your kids will become accustomed to hearing about it, and their kids will wonder what the problem is, and their kids will wonder why you are so prejudiced against minor attracted persons. Dear listener, this trail of benign surrender is well blazed. It has transformed from a cow path to a superhighway. Dr. Berlin and the pedophile lobby is following the path blazed by the homosexual lobby in the 1970s. Back then, the situation was parallel. The general public resisted with disgust any normalization of what was considered perverted behavior. And this is how homosexuality was viewed back in the 70s. I remember well. But the aggressive homosexual lobby began by enlisting the experts, right, to bludgeon the public with so-called facts and science. And under tremendous pressure from these groups, a small committee of the American Psychiatric Association in 1973 recommended in a study to lift its designation of homosexuality as a disorder, remove it from its Diagnostic and Statistical Manual. That's the DSM, its Diagnostic and Statistical Manual, which is, of course, the Bible of what is considered abnormal and in need of treatment by the American Psychiatric Association. And this study, to delist it as a disorder, this study was based at the time on the now long discredited Kinsey Report, which was, of course, the sensational revolutionary study of human sexual behavior in the United States of America. And at that time, Kinsey's data, for example, asserted that some 10% of American men were thoroughly homosexual, and up to 37% of men engaged in some kind of homosexual behavior or experimentation at some point in their lives, though otherwise straight. Well, with that kind of impressive number of behaviors percolating underneath the American psyche, how could anyone call it abnormal? That was the conclusion the American Psychiatric Association reached. Well, the Kinsey Report, you may remember if you're old enough, it was hyped and it was sensationalized all through the 60s after its release. And it was cited solemnly and authoritatively by everyone from Walter Cronkite and the news media to Playboy magazine. And it was even used in monologue material by Johnny Carson and The Tonight Show. However, later research into Kinsey's methods and data revealed that he regularly inflated statistics. He extrapolated unwarranted conclusions from meager testimony, and he also planted leading questions into his surveys. So, Kinsey's report has long since been tossed on the dustbin of science in every quarter but the popular public imagination. How often have you heard these things, that Kinsey's report has largely been debunked? Huh. But, of course, that did not stop the American Psychiatric Association in 1973 from using it to justify eliminating homosexual behavior as a disorder from its DSM, that is, its Bible, the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual. Well, with these heavy armaments on its side, the homosexual lobby had a scientific bludgeon from the premier ivory tower of psychiatric science with which to beat back its opponents, and use it they did. The study of the APA then was employed in legislatures and courtrooms and governor's mansions all over the country to lobby for gay rights and eventually for gay marriage. Additionally, the APA decision was hyped in college textbooks, high school sex ed, and eventually into primary schools even, and kindergartens under the guise of AIDS prevention and the need to prevent bullying, too, and hate panics, so-called. Well, the pedophile lobby, they've been watching all this time. They are hoping for the same kind of treatment by the American Psychiatric Association. And if Dr. Berlin and his cohorts at B4U ACT, if they get their way, they will get the full range of pedophile behaviors, all manner of sex with children. They will get it removed from the DSM as disorder in need of treatment and therapy. So then, armed with this authority from a so-called scientific quarter, they hope then to lobby legislatures to remove all age of consent restrictions, for example, all age of consent restrictions for pedophile sexual behavior. Oh, my dear brother and sister, dear American, dear friend, they said it couldn't be done. All through the debate over gay rights and gay marriage, the slippery slope argument, that is, once you condone one sexual behavior, you begin to slide down the greased incline towards condoning all sexual behaviors. That's the slippery slope argument, and it was scoffed at. It was dismissed and poo-pooed as irrelevant. But now we see, as exquisitely relevant, this fact, the slippery slope, materializing before your eyes. My assertion remains as relevant as ever, and that is without the absolute moral standard of the Bible, there is absolutely no limit to the corruption of the beauty of human sexuality. Yes, without the absolute moral standard of the Bible, there's absolutely no limit to the corruption of the beauty of human sexuality. Well, how is this done, dear listener? We see the pedophilic freight train coming barreling down the track of history, and righteous America seems incapable of derailing it. How is this seemingly unstoppable historical force of sexual degeneration performed and accomplished? Well, in order to more effectively equip you with the information you need to struggle against some of these demonic powers at war with America, let me expose what every Marxist is taught on his red mother's knee, that is, historical change is accomplished by the dialectical method. Do not be scared off by that foreign term if it is foreign to you. That is the dialectical method. You may exclaim, huh, but Pastor, I've never heard of such a thing. What does this fancy philosophical term have to do with my gay cousin who wants to get married? Well, I submit to you it has everything to do with him. Because the dialectical method is more than an ivory tower concept that only philosophical intellectuals talk about when they're not debating how many angels can dance on the head of a pin. The dialectical method is a well-established pattern of human thought and behavior that goes back to the philosopher Plato, but was honed and refined by the early 19th century German philosopher George Hegel. Now for Hegel, history was the key for understanding the progress of man. Progressives get his name from the progress of history. Well, throughout history, man progressed, supposedly, in his thought in the following manner. Change begins with an established premise or status quo that he called a thesis. Let us use the historical example of the Roman Catholic Church of the 16th century, which exercised monolithic authority over the conscience of the people. This, in Hegel's thought, would be the thesis. But then along comes a man like Martin Luther, who strongly asserts the authority of the free individual conscience. This is the antithesis, the antithesis or antithesis. And for Hegel, the conflict between these two seeming opposites, the authority of the monolithic conscience versus the authority of the individual conscience, this conflict produces in the course of history a new synthesis. That is, as it did during the Reformation, a free conscience within the church. And this new synthesis then becomes the new thesis for the next antithesis to come along in history. For example, a free conscience in the political sphere soon challenged the status quo or thesis of the feudal system of Europe. And the new synthesis of representative government soon replaced it as the new synthesis, which in turn became the new thesis for change, and on it would go throughout history. So, for Hegel, this is how change looks as it progresses in history. It was a profound insight. We must give him that, a profound insight into the human thought. There were those who seized upon it to plan strategies to achieve their goals, too, and one of these was Karl Marx, author of Das Kapital and the Communist System. In fact, Hegel influenced Marx's grand view of history in general and those of his successors, too. Nikolai Lenin of the Russian Revolution is one of these. And of course, for the Marxist, history is a determined thing, a determined process, and will inevitably issue in the perfected worker's paradise. After its struggle with the evils of capitalism, of course. And one component of that inevitable historical process is the dialectic method, the dialectical method. Progressives of all stripes recognize this dialectic, and they seek to gradually shape history by challenging the received norm, that is the status quo or thesis of culture, with a new antithesis of their own creation, one that will move their radical agenda. Very conscious effort here. So in retrospect, we can see that one of these antitheses was the gay agenda. The thesis, of course, was straight America with its heterosexual culture, and the antithesis, gay America with its radical homosexual culture. And the synthesis, of course, was sexually progressive America with full legitimacy and acceptance of lesbian, bisexual, gay, and transgendered lifestyles, including the coveted institution of marriage. Of course, this grand 40-plus year agenda was achieved not all in one fell swoop, not all in one chunk, but in gradual steps, one dialectical process at a time. For example, you have the thesis that is straight America, for whom homosexuality was a perverted taboo. Back in the 70s, this was, of course. But there was the antithesis, that is the underground homosexual America, who struggled to be accepted as a legitimate culture. Back in the 70s, early in their beginnings. And of course, the new synthesis there was an American culture in which homosexuality was no longer a perverted taboo, but seen increasingly as a legitimate culture. That was the new thesis. Then the old synthesis becomes the new thesis. And that new thesis was this straight American culture with a taboo-less gay culture. Then there was the new antithesis introduced by progressives during the 80s and the 90s. And that new antithesis challenging this thesis is that homosexuals who are no longer taboo, they nevertheless suffer by being deprived of their civil rights, and they suffer from discrimination by the larger culture. So a new synthesis emerges with this conflict, and that is a straight American culture in which gays are no longer discriminated against in the workplace or schools or larger culture. Okay? You getting the drift of this? This becomes then the new thesis, too. This old synthesis becomes the new thesis, the new status quo, the new established culture. An American culture, that is, that no longer discriminates in the broader culture against the homosexual. Then a new antithesis is introduced by progressives during the late 90s, the early 21st century, and that is gay culture yet lacks the ultimate crown jewel of legitimacy, and that is marriage. So this new antithesis conflicts with the old thesis, and you have a new synthesis emerge, that is a shrinking straight culture in which lesbians, bisexuals, gays, and transgendered enjoy full status with straights and the crown jewel of social acceptance, and that is marriage. Do you see how the dialectical method operates? You have thesis, antithesis, and synthesis, and the process begins anew with the old synthesis as the new thesis. Now, Marxists and progressives have been consciously employing this dialectical method in service to their agenda for over a century now, to the complete ignorance and naivete of most Americans, I submit to you. That is why every concession that conservatives and traditionalists make is never the end, but only the occasion for a new antithesis to be introduced to challenge what is now the status quo. And pretty soon, not only do you have Social Security introduced in the 30s, for example, this process was used in the social realm as well, but also as the dialectic method is employed consistently over the decades, you not only have Social Security, but you acquire unemployment insurance, food stamps, welfare, Medicare and Medicaid, and of course the summit of socialism, Obamacare. Inherent in the dialectical process, dear listener, is the idea of struggle and conflict. We must get used to this. No synthesis occurs without the struggle and conflict presented by the antithesis. This is precisely why progressives are never interested in the final resolution of any issue. It is precisely why progressives never shrink from conflict either, but they relish and they invite it. Struggle and conflict with the status quo is the very means by which they achieve their goals. This is why Chicago Mayor Rahm Emanuel could quip while he was chief of staff for President Obama, never let a good crisis go to waste. Remember him saying that? Because, he would say this, because he knows as a progressive, crisis always presents the opportunity to struggle and battle with the opposition, consciously implementing one of their agenda items as the antithesis in the conflict, and then coming out at the other end with a favorable synthesis that wasn't there before the crisis. Never let a good crisis go to waste, therefore. In fact, so basic to Marxism is this notion of conflict to the overall triumph of the communist revolution. Why do you think they call it revolution? It is because conflict is in the nature of it. Well, so basic is this notion of conflict to Marxism that even each individual issue, like the gay agenda, is in the end only another tool or another means towards the ultimate goal of the triumph of the revolution. This principle of conflict gave rise to Lenin's famous saying, who said, "The issue is never the issue. The issue is always the revolution." Do you see why that makes sense now? The issue is never the issue, i.e., the gay agenda is never the issue. The issue is always the revolution. So, don't be a naive dupe, dear listener. Every issue put forward by modern progressives is never pursued purely on its own merits. Every issue pursued by modern progressives is also, more importantly, serving to advance the Marxist revolution. Now, in this regard, dear listener, are you aware of one of the goals of the Communist Manifesto? One of the goals is, indeed, to destroy the Western family as it is traditionally constituted. They cannot make the perfect socialist man until the Western family, as it is presently constituted, the nuclear family, unless it is first destroyed. That is why there is such a symbiotic relationship between the homosexual agenda and progressives. This agenda advances not only the interests of the gay community, but also the communist agenda to destroy the family. So, dear listener, what do you think the pedophile agenda of Dr. Berlin and his Before You Act lobby group will accomplish towards these ends? That is, destroying the family and advancing the agenda of the Communist Manifesto. Well, dear listener, as soon as it is practicably possible, look for progressives to take up this antithesis, what they would consider in their own minds, an antithesis of pedophilia, that is, sex with underage children. Euphemistically, these people referred to as minor attracted persons. Look for progressives to take up their cause in order to challenge the status quo thesis of straight culture's taboo on sex with children. There will be great conflict over this issue, even as there was great conflict with homosexuality as an issue. But as progressives well know, in the crucible of history, conflict with the status quo brings about change, especially as they use our own ethic against us. Do you know how this works? Who can be against love and affection, which children ostensibly enjoy when they have sex with adults? And who can be against changing prejudice and discrimination, which straight culture presently demonstrate to minor attracted persons? And who can be against giving equal rights to minor attracted persons, which, if they are recategorized as normal by the American Psychiatric Association, they deserve, right? So, dear listener, as horrified as your initial reaction may be to this, as incredible as it may seem to actually materialize in time and space, I submit to you that this was precisely the reaction of mainstream straight culture to the homosexual agenda back in 1973, when the American Psychiatric Association voted to remove homosexuality from its listings of disorders. But, as I have just recounted for you, the gay community and American progressives employed the dialectic method to transform the thinking and behavior of the American public. This same method, the dialectic method, will be employed to transform your thinking concerning pedophilia, sex with underage children, and it will destroy that much more. Insofar as it does, it will destroy the more, the family, that has been the backbone of Western civilization and an obstacle to Marxist paradise. Therefore, dear listener, if you are not going to be sheep led around by your nose in this merry-go-round of change via the dialectic method, indeed, you will soon see challenged the thesis, that is, the status quo of culture being against sex with children, pedophilia, by minor attracted persons, and if you are not going to be sheep led around by your nose in this next round of change via the dialectic method, you must know what you're facing and be prepared for the extended political and cultural conflict ahead of us. Believe me, progressives are prepared. They are prepared for, and they are even cynically using the conflict inherent in the dialectical method to achieve their goals. And of course, we know from the Communist Manifesto, for example, that change progresses towards the end of Marxist revolution. And one of those goals, one of those methods is, of course, to destroy the American family so that they might indeed be in place to make the perfect socialist man. Wake up, I suggest you, dear listener, get educated in these things, and most of all, pray fervently. Just get your Christian armor on and pray fervently and be prepared yourself for the extended cultural battle ahead, because there is a struggle, there is conflict ahead in this area. This has been Pastor David Bass at New Geneva Orthodox Presbyterian Church. Now, we at New Geneva meet for holy worship on Sunday at 10 a.m. at 101 4th Street on the corner of 4th and Boulevard. Come and visit us or call us at 523-0196 for further information.